We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, the Cardinals have made a last-minute trade before the deadline, one I didn't see coming. They've acquired left-handed starting pitcher Jordan Montgomery from the New York Yankees. He will join the ball club, probably slot right into the rotation. And the Cardinals have traded away center fielder, Gold Glove winner Harrison Bader, who's on the IL right now with plantar fasciitis. Harrison Bader to the Yankees for left-handed starter Jordan Montgomery. That was a surprise.
And there'll be more trades coming out over the next 30 minutes. The trade deadline has passed. We'll check in with our own Kevin Wheeler in a couple of minutes to talk about the trade of Harrison Bader and anything else we learned in that time. But we now go to the celebrity guest line where we're joined by Braxton Payne. Braxton, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I think that's a good move for Harrison Bader. He gets to go back home. You know, he's from Bronxville, New York, so not too far from where the Yankees play in the Bronx. So it would be good for his family to be back there and get to watch him play, hopefully, if he can get off the, you know, the injured list.
And let's not forget, the Yankees come to town this weekend, so maybe Harrison Bader will be in the pinstripes when the Yankees and the Cardinals play each other. And Braxton, we have you on to talk about what's trending. It's going to be an abbreviated one today. Give us a couple of topics.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys were talking earlier about some chores, some lawn services, so we got that. We got the Kansas selection and Summer Fridays and concert tickets.
Chores, baby. Let's start with chores and cutting that lawn.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand that for cutting the lawn can be very therapeutic for some people. But I remember growing up is what we did. My parents had this little chore system. I had one sister, one full sister, and then three stepsisters. And so they would have in the garage a little cork board, and they had Monopoly money. And each chore had, you know, a specific dollar amount. So the most that you could make was, you know, $3 or $4 to mow the lawn. It was 50 cents to take out the trash. And you were assigned those chores each week. But what you could do is you could trade with your siblings, and either you could make more money or you could make less money. And I will say, as being the only boy, I always got the lawn and I always traded it with my older sister. I hated mowing the lawn growing up.
Were you able then to convert the Monopoly money into actual cash, or were you just stuck holding the Monopoly money?
No, so each week, we did it actually every 2 weeks, like we kind of do in the real world, is we were able to, you know, take our Monopoly money, it would be on the board. And then we would add little envelopes, and you would actually get that cash right in your envelope each time.
That's a pretty cool way to do it.
It was great because you could also do chores that you wanted to do. So, you know, if you like to unload the dishwasher, you could do that. Or you like the vacuum, you could always switch with your siblings. It's a great little barter system.
What was the highest price chore?
I think it was the lawn. Mind you, we had a corner lot, and it was a little bit on a hill. So it was a big lawn. I think that was... Either I want to say it was like they actually had, if you did the front or the back, had different prices. So I think you could get a total for the whole lawn of like $9.
See, at the Kelly house, we didn't get paid for chores. It was expected that we were going to do that stuff. But you could go out and cut the neighbor's lawn or grandma's lawn and make a couple of bucks. So that's a cool way of getting kids involved. It also teaches you a little bit about money. Let's talk some concerts, big boy.
Yeah, so I was on Twitter again today and looking at, you know, some of the concerts that are happening around. But, you know, we talked a little bit about concerts yesterday, the one canceled in Atlanta, which got me thinking, okay, how much was that music festival? I've got a little complaint. I think the kind of the cost of concerts has absolutely gone through the roof. I mean, you cannot go see a top tier artist at a top tier venue under, like, with decent seats under $65, $75. But I think the biggest racket out there has to be Ticketmaster. I mean, I don't know. I've been to, I don't know, let's say 10 concerts this year alone, and every single one of them has been Ticketmaster. And then they charge you the extra, you know, $8 fees on top of that. They have to be one of the most wealthy, you know, wealthiest, companies in the entire world, because, I mean, they're the only ones that actually do it.
$75. You heard about my, you heard about
what's an Elton John ticket run?
I'm well aware of that.
What's an Elton John ticket run?
It was a lot.
No, come on, give us a ballpark.
Yeah, it was in the ballpark.
And, but you got all your food and drink and no?
No, they told me. They told me it was in the club level. And I associate club level with all you can eat and all you can drink. And, of course, when I got there, it was not the case. You had to go to the concession stand. And then I got back to my seats. Not bad. The seats were not bad. And I reached for my phone to take a picture of Elton John out on stage. And I realized that I'd left my phone in the Uber. And my wife had left her phone at home. And so we had taken an Uber to Enterprise Center for Elton John after spending too much money for tickets that I thought included free food and free drink and had no way to communicate with the outside
all right,
world.
I'm not going to pick on the lovely Georgianne, but I don't ever really get more than 100 yards from my phone. And that's typically on a golf course.
Well, she didn't
want to
bring a purse. She didn't want to bring a purse. And we discussed it before we left. I said, I got my phone. We're fine. Yeah. Until we weren't. So, you know, I may not be going to more concerts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I got to tell you, $75 for a national touring group sounds about what it's going for. I mean, most of the big names like the Rolling Stones is a couple $100.
Yeah.
$100.
Even if
yeah,
you sit in
time.
The back. Yeah, exactly.
For me, when I go to concerts, I like to sit on the aisle, you know, so you can have easy access to the restroom and to get more drinks. I have to sit on the aisle. So I'm willing to pay a little extra to sit on the aisle.
Yeah.
That is very true. The aisle seat is very much underrated. It's a tremendous experience.
Having just been to New York to see the Grateful Dead, you know, and the Grateful Dead, the second they start playing, everybody starts moving. And if you're not on an aisle, you're getting bumped by all those people around you. And good thing it's peace and love. Otherwise, you'd want to punch a guy next to you.
What any decent concerts coming up in the St. Louis area, Brax?
I'm actually going to one this weekend. I'm going to see One Republic, and then next Wednesday I'm going to see OAR and Dispatch with Michael Kelly there.
OAR, what the heck is that?
Well, that's a great band. You'd love them, Hancock.
I would.
And the Dispatch, they got a great song. And the General, maybe we come up in the next hour with the General.
Huh. Must be one of those newfangled.
All right, Brax, go ahead. Newfangled
one.
Kids
more?
Bands.
Yeah. It's been around for two decades. We got just a little bit of time left for
go.
More.
Yeah, so I know you guys have been talking about elections. I haven't listened the whole day, but I will say the one election that I'm paying the most closest to is the Kansas statewide ballot initiative election. It's in regards to an abortion, whether or not it will be legal or illegal in Kansas. And one stat that I found interesting, and as I've been following this, they're voting on it today. Early voter turnout is up 200% in the state of Kansas. 200% in the state of Kansas. Their early voting, as they have expanded early voting and actually a really great mail-in voting system in Kansas. And so you're seeing increased turnout. Now we'll see if that means increased turnout for the pro-life side or the pro-choice side. But this could have some consequences. If you look up in Michigan, they're voting on something similar in November as the people have collected enough signatures to put it on the ballot. So it'll be interesting to see if this wave of anger from the pro-choice side, you know, equates into votes at the ballot box.
It will be. And, you know, I'm of the belief that as this thing plays out over the course of the next several years, that I think there will be many, many states that put initiatives on the ballot to deal with the abortion question. Kansas being sort of the front runner of all of them. Braxton Payne, what's trending? We appreciate your time. I'm still a little shaken up about this Harrison Bader trade for Jordan Montgomery. We'll find out about him with our own Kevin Wheeler after this on the DGS on Camo X.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
News Radio KMOX, the home of the Cardinals.
Well, the trade deadline has passed, and joining us now is another member of the show. He's none other than Kevin Wheeler. Kev, thanks so much for taking a couple of minutes. Your assessment of the Harrison Bader trade.
Boy, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I don't think anybody was expecting Bader to go anywhere for a couple reasons. I mean, one, his style of play, you know, the defense and speed is something the team has kind of made part of their identity, you know, here the last few years, and he's under team control for next year. But the need for starting pitching was acute, and we don't know when Bader's going to be back, and that's part of the risk that the Yankees are taking on here. Derek Gould just tweeted a few minutes ago that there will be a player to be named later that's a part of this deal going from the Cardinals to the Yankees, depending on Bader's health in return. You know, again, if he's back this year and he helps the Yankees in the playoffs, for example, there may not be a significant player at all. So it's still kind of to be determined there. But I wouldn't think it would be anybody big unless Bader doesn't come back at all. And even then, it won't be one of your best. So essentially, you're getting a year and 2 months of Jordan Montgomery for a year and 2 months of Harrison Bader. And honestly, you don't even know if it'll be 2 months for Bader because of the plantar fasciitis that he's dealing with. So when you look at it, like, immediately now, you're clearly the better team for at least the next few weeks because you don't have Bader anyway, and Montgomery slides right into the rotation. Montgomery's solid, guys. He made 30 starts last year and does get strikeouts. He's not getting them as much this year as he did last year, but he will miss some bats. But he's generally been, the last few years, a pretty durable player. I know he had some problems in 2018 and 2019 with staying healthy, but made 30 starts last year. He's already made 21 starts this year, 3.69 ERA, fielding independent, pretty close to that at 3.91. So nothing fluky there. And if you look at his profile in terms of kind of the under-the-surface numbers, he is one of the best starting pitchers in baseball this year when it comes to limiting walks. He does not walk people. He's in the top 8-9% of all pitchers in Major League Baseball in limiting walks. He's really good at limiting hard contact. He gets a good number of swings and misses. He gets hitters to chase outside the zone. Even though he's not a big strikeout guy, he does get those chases, which can lead to that soft contact that I'm talking about. So you're getting a guy who's good, whose like surface numbers are good, and the numbers behind it are just as good. And I'm really curious to see what he looks like, guys, getting out of Yankee Stadium as the home ballpark, which is a great hitter's ballpark, and getting him to Busch Stadium, which is really a strong pitcher's ballpark.
Well, he's 29 years old. He's 6'6". He's built like a pitcher.
Yeah, he's a big lefty.
And, you know, we've added two lefties now with Jose Quintana, and I guess both of those now slot into the rotation in the 4 and 5 hole, or maybe the 3 and 4 hole, behind Wainwright and Michaelis. Dakota Hudson still probably in that rotation, three right-handers there. These two lefties are intriguing, and the Cardinals haven't had two lefties to trot out very often in recent years.
No, I mean, they did like last year at this time, right, when they went and got Lester and Happ. But those were two old guys right, that you're just throwing together at the deadline. You know, this is the same idea, right, with Montgomery and Quintana. Same idea as what they did with Happ and Lester last year, but at a much higher level. You know, they're much younger players. B, they're having much better seasons than Lester and Happ were. I mean, those guys were, honest to God, guys, those two were on the verge of just being designated for assignment by their teams. They were not real trade pieces. Those were just giveaways. These are legit trades. Quintana's having a really good year. And again, his peripheral numbers and his kind of like under the surface things with velocity and swings and misses, they're not as good as Montgomery's, but they're still pretty solid. And I mean, if I had to rank the guys in the rotation now, I'd have to slot Montgomery as the third best guy. Again, keeping in mind that, you know, a 3.69 ERA pitching in the American League East, where Tampa Bay's really good and Toronto's really good and Boston's pretty good and Baltimore, I mean, heck, even Baltimore's only like two and a half games out of a wild card spot. So it's a deep division. There are a lot of hitters' parks there. Toronto, New York, Boston, Baltimore, all pretty much hitters' ballparks, although Baltimore maybe a little less this year than usual. So there's a lot to like about bringing Montgomery in. And again, it's not just regular old numbers like ERA. I mean, this is a guy that is doing good things as well. The only concern I would say about Montgomery, and I'd say it's the same for Quintana, is they really haven't been big innings guys this year. And that's something that the Cardinals want, right? They want more innings out of their starting pitchers. Now, Montgomery is less than six innings per start, but it's more like 5 1/3, 5 2/3, which is okay. Quintana's like 5 innings per start. So you'd like to get more, but those guys are going to be an upgrade. And what that allows them to do, guys, is put Pallante back in the bullpen. And I know he had a great start the last time around. I'm not trying to, say that this had to happen from his perspective, but he had like a 1.88 ERA as a reliever. And up until his start on Sunday, it was more like 4.5 as a starter. And at this point, probably helps the team a lot as that middle innings guy who can pitch the fifth and the sixth or the sixth and the seventh and serve a bunch of different roles. So I think, this actually helps the bullpen at the same time.
Well, and you've also added Chris Stratton from the Pirates into that bullpen. Yep. And so the bullpen was having some issues outside of Helsley. The bullpen was having some issues, and maybe this solidifies, strengthens that side of the equation.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I mean, there's always a trickle-down effect. And Stratton and is an interesting guy. He's not by any means a dominant pitcher. And really this year he's been a good bit less than he's been in recent years. If you look at him like 2019 through 2021, he was pretty solid, like 3.6, 3.7 ERA guy. With the fielding independent, like a right around that same thing. So a pretty solid middle reliever, right? This is not a closer. It's not a guy that is going to be your seventh, eighth, or ninth inning guys. And I think they're pretty good shape there, right? They're in pretty good shape with Cabrera and Gallegos and Helsley when you've got a lead in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And even Hicks can be a part of that if his command improves at any given point. But, in Stratton, you're getting a player whose real ERA this year stinks. He's got a 5.09 ERA, but if you look under the hood, and a fielding independent is 3.61, which tells you the Pirates' crappy defense is really what's hurting him, and he's not a huge strikeout guy, so, it matters. Like, the defense behind him will matter, but I think he'll be a decent middle guy for sure.
And just about a minute left. I guess this means Dylan Carlson is your center fielder going forward. Who's going to hold fourth and right ultimately on this
club?
Good
question. I mean, yeah, this is not only Carlson center field now, this is Carlson center field for the foreseeable future with the way this sets up. And in the short term for the Cardinals, right field is probably going to be a combo. It's going to be Juan Yepes when he comes off the injured list. Brendan Donovan will surely get some time out there. But the guy that's going to get it now is Nootbaar. Lars Nootbaar is killing it in July. He's hitting .317, slugging .600, 1,000 OPS this month. So I'm going to guess that he's going to get every opportunity to face right-handed pitching until he cools down. So you got those guys in the short term. Alec Burleson is killing it at AAA, so he'll be one of the guys in the mix long-term. And to be honest, that might be the future home of their top prospect, Jordan Walker, too.
That's Kevin Wheeler with some insight. The trade deadline has come and gone. The Cardinals have added a couple of pitchers, and they've added a relief pitcher. We'll see how it works. KMOX rolls on. It's the DGS, whatever this is. And then Cardinal baseball just around the corner right here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, it's Hancock and Kelly on the Dave Glover Show. We'll be with you all week long. Don't forget, today's election day. If you haven't voted yet, you still have about an hour and 20 minutes to get to the polls. Go out there and cast your vote. Almost 80% of the races that will be decided in November truly are decided this evening. You can listen to Hancock and Kelly and see us tonight on Fox 2 starting at 8:30. We'll be breaking down all the outcomes of the elections here in Missouri and in St. Louis.
Is there anything better than seeing election returns start coming in? I mean, it's exciting. It's a you know, it's for us, it's game day.
It is.
And the numbers start coming in and you're dicing them up and you're trying to figure out, okay, if it's a statewide campaign, what does this mean from Buchanan County? Is it telling us anything? Right. Then you get the dump in St. Louis late into the evening. It's going to be fascinating. And I predict that there will be at least one real surprise tonight. I don't know which one. But there will be one, I think.
Yeah, and do you think it'll be likely on the Democratic side, I would think?
Well, I think Kuntz may win that primary for the Senate, and if the turnout is as weak as it appears, I think Shane Duker may have a shot at Sam Page. That would be a true upset.
Well, John Hancock and his theories, we'll see if they come true. He talks about waiting and parsing the analysis of Buchanan County. If you're a Democrat, you don't even know where that's at.
Well, it's up in St. Joe, and it's always one of the first counties to report. And it has been a remarkably good harbinger, less so in primaries than in general elections. But in general elections, it's been a remarkably good indicator of where the statewide vote's going to go, and it's been that way for a very long time. It's just one of those little intricacies that I find really fascinating about election returns.
And we'll be back with you again tomorrow. Tonight, boy, we still have a lot left. You've got the Cardinal pregame show that's going to be coming. They'll be talking about the Harrison Bader trade, all the trades that have taken place across the MLB. We don't know if we know about all the trades yet. The MLB offices had to receive those trades by 5 o'clock. You have to imagine most of them have been publicly announced, but we'll wait and see. They'll be able to break that down, taking you all the way up to the Cards and the Cubs in downtown St. Louis. There's no better rivalry in baseball than the Cardinals and the Cubs.
And they'll be rocking out at Busch Stadium this evening. Better than 40,000 fans expected for this series over Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then the weekend series with the New York Yankees that Matt Carpenter comes back to town. They won't have Harrison Bader yet. He's still on the injured list. But it's going to be something else. You know, I think John Mozeliak may have surprised us here. I think adding these two left-handed starters solidifies the rotation. He also makes a move by moving Pallante back to the bullpen that's going to strengthen the bullpen. And the Cardinals' offense is a solid offense, particularly if you start getting the kind of production down in the seven hole that Paul DeJong could bring to this ball club. If he's hitting and hitting home runs the way he did in 2018, 2019, we may be very pleasantly surprised with what this ball club looks like going forward.
And if you're disappointed with Harrison Bader leaving, well, turn on the ball game and listen to it right here, because you ought to be cheered up by the fact that Adam Wainwright will be throwing to his fellow legend Yadier Molina tonight as they're going to break that battery record as well.
Yeah, Yachty's back. That'll be fun. The Cardinals also did deal Austin Romine, who was serving as the backup catcher to Andrew Kisner while Yachty was out. The Austin Romine era as a St. Louis Cardinal has come to an end.
Yeah, and it appears as though there's going to be a vote in the United States Senate this evening on the burn pit legislation. The Democrats saying they have the votes to be able to pass it. Quite controversial, as many of the Republicans in the House had voted against it. It'll be interesting. It's an evenly divided Senate, so who knows what will happen there. We'll also keep our eyes on Nancy Pelosi, who's in Taiwan, being well-received by the Taiwanese and being virally opposed by the Chinese. Interesting that Nancy Pelosi is getting praise from both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, that's another interesting development. Man, there's just so much going on. And let's not forget the race for governor in Arizona is going to be really interesting this evening. It pits a candidate supported by Donald Trump, talking about Carrie Lake, against a candidate supported by Mike Pence, talking about Karen Taylor Robson. That race, the polling has been close. It's going to really be interesting to see how that comes out.
You also have that abortion vote that's going to take place in Kansas. The first time we're going to see abortion on the ballot since the overruling of Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, and that's interesting because both sides have poured a lot of money into that. We heard a report earlier that the turnout is like 200% higher than you would expect. So that Kansas result's going to be very interesting.
Total Information AM will have a breakdown of all the results and all the trades that took place tomorrow morning. Hancock and Kelly will join them for a couple of minutes and give you our analysis on what happened. We'll probably check in with the show again tomorrow. I want to thank all of our guests that joined us today. It's fun sitting in for the DGS.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here between 2 and 6 every day, and our 2 and 6 is now officially over because when we come back, it'll be Cardinal pregame show hosted by our own Matt Pauly, and then Cardinal baseball tonight at 6:45 first pitch. Be there, and let's go Redbirds.
Have a good night, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.